All right, and welcome to another Beer for Breakfast podcast. My name is Jason Mahoney, and joining us here in the Beer for Breakfast podcast studio, we've got my partner from the morning show, Dave Farah.
Hey, man. I was just talking to you a couple of minutes ago when we were doing the morning show, so we should make this a big thing. We have a guest here. Let's focus on that.
Yes, but it's always a pleasant surprise when you decide to join us here in the... I actually think Wendy's here more often than you.
That's entirely possible. It is good to be back. Yeah.
We like her more than we like you, and she brings presents, and she's generally in a better mood, and just an overall better human being.
Smells better, looks better. I get it. It's fine.
But Wendy from Craft House joining us here today as well. So welcome back to the Beer for Breakfast podcast, Wendy.
Thank you. Appreciate being back.
She always brings beer, too, which I don't feel like I can compete with because, you know, like your Craft House... A staple here in the Las Vegas beer community. I don't have that sort of ammunition. I can't fire that gun.
No, it's not fair. No, it can't. And not only does she bring beer, she brings new beer every time that she comes in. And a lot of stuff is going on with Craft House these days. So let's talk about what you guys were up to this week and what's coming up in the future as well.
So technically last week I was in Washington, D.C.
Changing beer laws across the country?
Yes, federally. Really? Yes.
Okay. Of course.
If you don't know the story, she's been actually lobbying hard to get local beer laws changed, but now you're in D.C.? Like, this is getting this is big business.
Yeah. It was an amazing opportunity. We're members of the Brewers Association, which is our largest trade organization for craft breweries. There's now over 7,000 craft breweries in the nation. So every year they do a hill climb. So they march on Capitol Hill, and then we all descend and we all meet with our delegates from our state. So I was the only person to go to represent Nevada, but that's super awesome. I've got a big voice, so.
I bet the after parties for that are pretty awesome, huh?
It is. So that night, you invite all your delegates to come and then enjoy craft beer that's made, you know, by people, by their constituents. So this year they had it in the Library of Congress, which was like mind-blowing. It was so amazing.
Did anybody from Nevada actually show up?
Yes, and actually my district delegate, Congresswoman Susie Lee.
Okay, yeah, she's great.
Yeah, I like her. We're super BFFs now.
And she is a craft beer fan?
Yes, she was imbibing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And she's supportive of the cause, so good.
Yeah, so our bill, which we were primarily focusing on, it has a super long name. It's like the Craft Beverage Modernization Tax Relief Act.
Is it an acronym for something?
No, they just call it like CMBT. CMBTRA.
Okay.
Symbol.
Yeah.
We're very passionate about
Symbatra.
So it not only includes the breweries, it includes wineries, distilleries, distributors, and a little bit of import. So it's a bipartisan bill. And it has no opposition, which is great.
It's nice. Everyone likes beer. You can be red, blue, somewhere in between. Doesn't really matter. Yeah. Everyone likes beer.
You say that until you know, I mean, you would think everybody likes beer. Everybody likes craft beer. But the people who make, you know, these billion-dollar multinational companies sometimes take umbrage with what you guys are doing in the craft beer world. But apparently nobody's been paid enough. By those guys yet. So it looks like it's going to pass?
It does. So for the last 2 years, it's been temporary. So it reduced our excise taxes in half that we pay to the TTB, the federal government. Mm-hmm. So we used to pay $7 a barrel. That's roughly two of the large kegs. You'd pay $7 to the federal government. Now it's $3.50. So I was there kind of like the poster child of saying, hey, these are my tax funds that I saved. And now with that, I'm opening up a secondary location with those monies. Thank you very much.
And I will
pay more taxes, and I am hiring more Nevada employees.
Good.
So, yeah. So she's co-sponsored it, and she's also a member of the Small Brewers Caucus.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
She is never going to have to buy another beer again for as long as she lives.
Shout out to Susie Lee, man. That's
up, Susie Lee.
Another reason to like her. So that's
But also, I got to meet Dina Titus. She's so cute.
She Dina Titus, I mean, obviously a staple of Nevada politics for many, many years. Yeah. Her anytime, like, we've had her on the show before. She called in a couple years ago.
Yeah.
This is, I don't know why. Do you remember when she called in?
Kind of.
She called in because it was election day.
I remember, yes.
But the thing I liked about it was she wasn't saying, hey, vote for me, Dina Titus, but because she has that amazing Southern accent that she has. And but she was just like, hey, get out there and vote. And, you know, today's the day to do it. And I really appreciated that. You know, she had the time to come on and say, hey, vote for me. But she said, just get out there and vote.
No, it's awesome.
And really appreciated that. Yeah. Is she also a craft beer fan?
She is. She's co-sponsored the bill, and she's also a member of the Small Brewers Caucus.
Very cool.
And she offered to come out and do our ribbon cutting for the opening of the secondary tasting room because we're now in her district, in the Arts District.
Okay, yeah.
So does that mean that Simbertra is going to go through?
It looks like it, but you never know.
You never know. Okay.
Day politics.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Oh, it's a deadly game. I've seen House of Cards.
Indeed it is. Get pushed in front of a train.
Yeah, not good.
So what did you bring us today? Yeah, it looks like you brought four.
I did.
Wow, okay.
So I brought one of the cores because I feel like they never get the true love that they deserve. So we have to do a little back in time with Evocation, our Saison. It's one of our two flagship beers that we opened with. And then our very first lager that we've ever made in the history of Craft House. We're now brewing lagers thanks to our head brewer, Cameron. It's called Sparks of Joy. It's an India Pale Lager, so bright kind of grassy notes of the hops in there, but then finishes clean with a lager. Great for, obviously, cutting the grass.
Mm-hmm. And I like the ode back to, you know, obviously a lot of your beers are, you know, very Nevada themed. You guys are big proponents of our state, and, you know, going back to Sparks up in northern Nevada, so
outside of the Reno area,
like the tie in there as well.
Well, thank you.
Are you from that? You're not.
No,
from that.
I'm from Huntington Beach.
That's right.
Yeah. And then a brand
Huntington
new
Beach,
one.
Nevada. Never heard of it.
It's right by the dam.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. Sure, it's lovely.
Just a little ways past.
And then I brought a beer that we're releasing tomorrow, Friday, called All the Peaches. It's a fruited sour. It obviously is fruited with peaches.
Okay.
We used a lot of peach puree in there. And then I brought something a little bit darker. It's a seasonal beer. It's called Bierzeit, which is our Maibock.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
You got a coffee. Is it a coffee beer too? Something that's
in
the works?
Yeah. So yesterday.
I saw photos of your husband, Dave.
Yes. And Issa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Issa came to us with this super crazy idea that he wanted to partner with four local coffee roasters and then brew one batch of beer, split it four ways, dose it with their four different cold brew concentrates, and then package those four beers and then offer the mix pack with one of each coffee roaster.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, super cool. Who has to do all the packing and the logistics of it? These guys.
You guys.
Hmm. And we're like, you're super crazy, but that's awesome, and we're on board. So yesterday we brewed the beer, and Cameron, our head brewer, he didn't want to do a typical stout, because it kind of masks the coffee, and you'll miss the nuances with each roaster. So we're doing a golden ale.
Oh,
and then we can incorporate it in there.
I like that. You know, I like the playoff of each other. You know, you know what a coffee stout tastes like, but very rarely do you get a golden ale that's infused with cold brew.
Yeah.
So very cool.
So we partnered with Dark Moon, Bad Owl, Vesta, of course, because we exclusively work with Vesta, and then Mothership.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a Bad Owl close to my house, so.
There you go.
Are they a straight Nevada, or is that like a
Bad Owl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're just here. I think they just have a couple locations.
I think they're
locations.
Just Clark County.
Really?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if that was. I was like, I haven't been in there yet.
They have one in Henderson. They have one down on Rainbow and Windmill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's just a couple of them that I know of, at least. Yeah.
Oh, I was like, is that a chain?
I don't think so.
You never know.
So the first one here is which one?
So this is Evocation, our Saison.
Yeah.
The idea of, you know, our beer aha moment was traveling through Bavaria, but we started in Amsterdam. And the first beer I had was Saison DuPont. And that was kind of like my beer aha moment. So then when we came home from Europe and Dave started homebrewing, I said, can you make me a Saison? So then I named it when we opened Craft House. So this is Dave's homebrew recipe that our brewers have then scaled up. And I named it Evocation because it evokes the feelings from my beer aha moment that I discovered that, like, beer could have flavor. And
it's not awful and it can be good and we enjoy
and enjoyable to drink.
Yeah.
What's the ABV on this? It's
I believe.
Pretty light.
Yeah, it is 4.7.
Okay. All right. Well, let's enjoy some evocation. You know, just the
cheers.
You know, very inviting nose. You know, crystal clear for the most part. You know, you can see straight through there.
Yeah,
like a light,
nice carbonation,
light yellow, like a almost like a lighter than a like a slight. What is that word I'm looking for?
Straw.
Like, straw? Yeah.
Straw. Very blonde. Yeah.
Looks like a giraffe. Giraffe yellow.
Looks like a giraffe to me. Okay. How much have you, did you pre-drink?
Light, nicely balanced, just goes down very easy, and then just a beautiful finish.
Thank you.
On that. And that makes sense that that's been one of the ones that you've been pushing, you know, since the day your doors opened over there.
Malty, but clean.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice.
I like it.
A little bit of lemon and pepper notes. That's from the Belgian yeast. The aroma and the esters that you get from that guy.
And you can find this. This one's canned. You can find it at Lee's, Corey's. I think you guys are at Top Shelf too, I believe.
I think so. I think they bring in more of our seasonal and not our core, which is fine. But yeah, Total Wine, Lee's, Corey's.
All over the valley, which is
our place.
Yeah. Your place.
Soon to be two places. We broke ground today. We're saw cutting today.
Congratulations. How exciting.
Yes.
Thank you to that barrel tax.
Saving.
So was that barrel tax, just going back to that for a second, that was on top of already all the other taxes that your normal business taxes that you're already. Yeah, that seems excessive.
So that's the federal excise tax that we pay to the TTB, our governing entity that, you know, covers us federally. And then we pay city, and we pay state, and then we pay sales tax. So if you come to our tap room, that one pint of beer, we've paid four different taxes on it.
Yeah. America.
Yeah.
Super.
I'm actually excited for the cannabis industry to be here, because now we don't have to be the poster child for all of the taxes that
all the ridiculous
bad alcohol needs to pay for. Like, the state proposed a tax, I think a couple years ago, last session, that alcohol manufacturers should pay for the rehabilitation of opioid users.
Because that's your fault.
And I was like, because I'm not a gateway drug to opioids.
I don't know many people who go straight from craft beer to heroin or to, you know, Oxycontin, you know, overnight. You know?
Yeah, do you know what goes great with this beer? It pairs nicely with some painkillers. Really,
put those together.
Let's not tax the pharmaceutical company. Like, let's tax the brewers.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, now I have no problem with weed whatsoever, but they're the more sinful thing now, right? So, put all the crazy taxes on them.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I say legalize it all and tax the hell out of it. You know?
Just
do it. It's interesting. So in Nevada, so that law did not pass, or it did pass?
It didn't.
It did. Well, that's good to know.
They also try to throw in a whole bunch of crazy stuff onto a bill after it's already been vetted on the floor. And then they're like, maybe nobody will pay attention to the other stuff that I threw in.
Yeah.
And we did pay attention.
Somebody has to do the work, and I'm sure everybody else is benefiting greatly from the work that you were doing here in Nevada and federally now. So
yeah, it was awesome. It was cool to see, like, you know, you go and you vote on, you know, your day that you're supposed to vote as a citizen. You're like, great. I don't really know who these people are, and do they really do anything for me? Do they really work? They really work. It was awesome to see. So. You know, you find their office and they've got like six staffers and everybody's running around and they're super busy. And so they are doing stuff, but you have to be in front of their face because everybody's in front of their face. Like, look at me. I need this. I need this. You know what I mean? So if you're not there and if you're not front of mind, then they're just going to forget about you.
Squeaky wheel, man.
Yeah.
That is 100%. The evocation is phenomenal. What are we moving on to Sparks of Joy next?
Yeah, let's do it.
I finished mine already.
It's named in honor of Marie Kondo. Do you ever watch her?
Oh yeah, we did the Sparking Joy.
Yeah,
my fiance ended up watching that, and then we ended.
Did you have to fold your T-shirts into tiny tents?
She did it all for me.
Okay,
but what, like,
are y'all talking about that organization?
Yeah,
lady?
She's Japanese. Right.
Yeah.
And she's like,
your wife hasn't watched that yet.
We started to watch it. Like, I'm just like,
you have to fold your T-shirts like a little tiny tent like this.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to hold each item, and if it doesn't spark joy, then you thank it and you let it go.
that's where I was like, all right, okay, this is not.
I cleaned out a whole bunch of stuff, and my you know, the thing I think that is great, because we all have as dudes, we just have thousands of t-shirts for like what, everywhere we go, we get a t-shirt for something.
Is that her whole thing though? Is like, if it doesn't spark joy, you have to get rid of it?
Yeah. Which I feel like, I don't think it's a bad concept. I don't. I think.
Well, what if you're hugging your fiance and you're like, well, gotta go.
Yeah, it's been good, old girl.
You can't fold her into a little tiny tent, then maybe you should let her go.
We did all my t-shirts, and you know, a couple hundred t-shirts filled up an entire dresser. And she was out of town, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna post this on social media, and you know, see, like, look at all these organized t-shirts. And so I pull all the drawers out, but since there's like 7 drawers pulled out, and they're all filled with like 30 t-shirts each, they're heavy as hell. The dresser tipped over on me. TV hit me in the head.
Oh, I love that so much.
Scratched the top of the dresser, and I'm just like, oh, God. This is what I get for trying to steal her folding credit. 100% my fault.
It's karma, man.
It was.
It's karma.
Yeah, that was bad. She was doing something good, and that's what I get. Stolen t-shirt valor.
So it wasn't actually named after Sparks, Nevada, after all. It was after...
No, but I went with it. Did you like that?
Yeah,
you
just rolled right with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But, sure.
But you can work that in. And, right? I'll take credit a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a six-pack every now and then.
Double entendre there.
So let's talk about this lager. You said new brewer, this is his recipe.
Yes.
And lagers take much longer to brew and sit than many others. And we've talked about this many times on the Beer for Breakfast podcast. You walk into a brewery... And, you know, a lot of craft nerds go, I gotta try the lager because nothing can hide behind the lagers.
It's like the vanilla cake, you know, of the pastry world.
If it's not, if your base isn't good, nothing's going to be good. But this, so this is going to be available, is it everywhere else too, or just at the brewery?
The cans did go out to Speedy Mart, but I believe they're sold out now.
Okay. Really?
We do have it on draft, and we have a few cases left. But I thought it would be nice to try our first lager.
And this is
this is a complicated lager, and I mean that in a good way. It's it's not what you just expect with kind of just your normal boring lager.
Right.
Like there's a lot of different layers to it.
Right.
And I'd really appreciate it.
So it's an India pale lager, meaning it uses the malt bill of an IPA and it also follows like the hopping schedule, and it's definitely hop forward. But with the lager yeast, it's gonna kind of finish minerally and clean and fresh on your palate.
Is this one that's going to be, this is a one and done, or is this, we're thinking, could be added to a lineup, or is it because the, like I said, the just the extended amount of time that it takes for a batch of these to, you know, mature?
It, selfishly, is my go-to beer, so
really?
We will be making it again.
Okay.
And she's always loved the Reno area, so I mean, it just it makes sense.
Loves
beautiful
Sparks.
This time of
just
year.
Gorgeous, rolling hills, Lake Tahoe.
But yeah, a little bit of hop in the nose, and you said this is 6 point. So this is pretty high for a lager, for an American pale lager. So I mean, 7%. You know, you're creeping right at the door of that.
Mm-hmm. But you know, it doesn't sit on your palate. It's not hot and boozy, but it hits. It hits my palate with the right hops that I like. They're kind of green and grassy.
What is the hop profile that you're using?
We use Calypso, CTZ, and Chinook.
Okay.
I've always been a fan of Chinook because it was Sierra Nevada's pale ale is all day,
it's
Chinook.
Yeah. Chinook and I would say Mosaic are probably my two
Citra
favorites.
I'm a super Citra whore.
This
we will do anything to get Citra.
Anything. You think the lobbying is hard.
Right.
Well, I'm just curious next, like when you guys are going to start farming or something like that, because you're seeing more and more, you know, because it's from what we hear is that, you know, the world of hop farming is becoming political, and it's becoming harder and harder to get your hands on certain types of hops.
Right.
Have you run
because
into that?
It's more lucrative to grow cannabis.
Yeah.
And they're the closest cousins that you can in their genomes. They just don't have THC.
Yeah.
So you make more money.
Growing weed.
Yeah. But I think that's going to balance out. And one of the other things on our list of asks when we were lobbying was to also keep the program going. So the Brewers Association is working with the FDA to fund grants for hop growers and hop researchers.
Okay.
Because a lot of the hops that we grow in the Pacific Northwest, they all go for, well, a lot of them, not all, but they there's a lot for export. So other brewers in other parts of the world need those Pacific Northwest hops Chinook, Cascade, yeah. Centennial, all those favorites. Those are a good amount of export leaving our country.
Are we, we just saw earlier this week that they're lifting the tariffs on aluminum
yes.
to Canada. So is that good news
Canada
for you?
And Mexico. Yes, it was. And that was one of our asks. And it's kind of tricky because they, you know, they don't really have too much weight with the tariffs. It's unfortunately, it's well, all
that's
all of
the executive branch right now. Yes.
Yeah. So we got a lot of huffing and eye rolling about the current presidency and then they
really
they
I,
drop
I
it
I haven't heard any of that anywhere. It's strange.
And then they drop it and say, you know, kind of our hands are tied.
Yeah.
But that was one of our asks, because with the aluminum and tariff aluminum and steel tax, it definitely affected us. Like, we had a shortage, a national shortage of 16 ounce cans when that happened.
And that's crazy. You know, you think about on a day-to-day basis, the average Joe, whatever. It's like, oh, how's an aluminum tariff going to affect me? Or how's a steel tariff? I work in a, you know, I work at an office. I'm an accountant. But if you like craft beer, cost goes up for you. You know, I mean, either that or your cost doesn't go up and it's starting to eat into your profits. Yeah. And the next thing you know, your favorite craft beer brewery is either out of cans or, yep. you know, who knows what could lead from that. So
yeah.
I was happy to see that this week. I thought of you when that news broke.
Yeah. I think don't quote me on it, but a hefty percentage of aluminum cans do come from Canada mm-hmm. for us. So it'll make an impact. But, like, you know, when the shortage was over, then all of the can suppliers, all of their prices went up.
Of course.
We can't really hand down that expense yeah. because we're already set with our prices on the shelves for grocery stores. Say, you know, if you're at Smith's, I can't change my price now just because my supplier
changed their
price.
You can't just walk in there and, like, scribble out the old price and write it in the new one.
I wish.
It doesn't work like that.
I wish.
Sorry, you can't leave
a penny jar next to it. Any
help.
Penny helps.
Help.
I can't do that. We can't take your Visa credit card. None of that.
No.
It's a mess.
No. I never bought groceries with my Visa credit card anyway.
It doesn't affect me either. I'm a debit guy on that. Yeah. But some people, like my girlfriend, and I guess Dave's the same way. It's the points. They get mad because
gotcha.
They can't get the.
Yeah,
they're playing. I can't keep track of the points game. It's too much.
It's too right. much for me.
It's too much going on. But my fiance, she's like, oh, make sure to use this card at gas this month. I'm like, I have one card that
right.
I use.
Although
only when I'm like kind of in a sketchy area and I think my information may get stolen. That's when I use my credit card 90% of the time.
Did I tell? I didn't even tell you that my debit card got scammed.
No, what happened?
When I was coming back from Turks and Caicos. All of a sudden, I get a text message from Wells Fargo. They're like, hi, is this purchase you? Is this you? And normally, I'm like, yes. You know, I'd make a lot of bad choices. Just deal. And then I'm like, wait a minute. No. Somebody stole $400 out of an ATM using, I guess, a clone card of mine mm-hmm. in Denver. And I'm like, well, I'm in Fort Lauderdale right now, nowhere near Denver. I'm like, it definitely wasn't me. And, like, they were totally cool about it. But sure enough, like, I barely ever use it. It was my business debit card, so I almost never use it. So somehow, I guess they'd used it and gotten my PIN and gone to an ATM. Oh. They'd cloned the card and gone. It went to the ATM and used it and stole $400 out, plus the surcharges.
They were probably going to buy craft beer, so you should have just let it slide.
You think so? Oh,
yeah.
I should have been like...
Yeah. Or we
yeah,
too.
No, that's me. And then call back and be like, no, actually it wasn't. No, but yeah, they got $400. And I guess
you're going to get reimbursed?
No, they Wells Fargo does pretty good.
But still.
Still, bastards. I'm like, that's what, I'm like, did you catch them? They're like, no, we don't really prosecute.
Send me a photo.
I'm like, I need to get in the business of stealing people's ATM
same thing
pins
with,
and cards.
Same thing with my fiance. She had her card swiped, you know, or cloned or whatever. It was when we were down in, it was actually, oddly enough, we were in Florida as well, when that was going on. We were visiting Disney World, and her car got swiped. They caught the guys doing it, and then they're like, they called her up, some detective, like, are you willing to prosecute? She's like, yeah, absolutely. You know, fuck those guys.
Sure.
Stealing my, you know, like, yeah, I've got the money back, but it's the principle of trying to steal money.
You crooks.
From me. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So the guys were already out on probation, and then they go to trial, and they cut a deal with the DA. No time. And they had stolen hundreds of cars. I'm like, how are we not
in this day and age, like, that needs to be much more serious.
That is such a
it's a violation.
Can destroy you, like, having your identity stolen.
And also, like, let's not kid ourselves. Like, Wells Fargo did a good job of that, and they reimburse the money, and there's fraud protection.
Yeah.
But let's not kid ourselves. Like, that still trickles down and comes back.
We're
to the consumer.
For that
we end up paying
for
it. Yeah,
your $3 ATM charge becomes a $4.
Oh, my God.
We are done with the Sparks of Joy American Pale Lager. I'm a fan, and I'm glad to hear that you're a fan. This will be one that continues to pop back up. I like the design on that 16-ounce can.
Thank you. I did it.
You did this one?
I did.
So you are just all about the. This is all you.
No, well, it's not.
The beer
it's
is,
not.
But the design.
Well, there wasn't enough time. We rushed getting a label design, and there wasn't enough time to get my regular graphic designer to do it.
Okay.
So I was like, well, we need a label because the beer's ready. So I did it.
Well, and as it just turns out that he's going to compliment your fine work. So how about it?
Well, and then the next one for our newest beer that we're releasing tomorrow, All the Peaches, that's when I hired a new graphic designer.
I like it. It looks very geometric.
What?
It's geometric.
A terrible compliment.
What do you mean? I'm trying to describe what it looks like. So let's talk about this. It's called All the Peaches, and you said All the Peaches. I mean, I assume they have to be in season right now.
So we used peach puree from Oregon Fruit Providers. So there's 40 gallons.
40
in this,
gallons?
40 pounds or 40 gallons? I can't remember. I think it's 40 pounds.
Okay.
So it's 1 pound of peach puree per barrel of beer.
Okay.
So it really was all the peaches.
And we're looking at ABV 5.4 percent ABV, and these are going to be available at the brewery and around town, or just the brewery?
The release is at our brewery on Friday, tomorrow, and we open at 2:00. But it a few cases will go out to all the Speedy Marts.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have it, and then we'll also have it on draft.
Speedy Mart is the unsung hero of craft beer in Las Vegas. I mean, they're all over the town. You know, and when you're looking to find something, I mean, unless it's like really, really, really scarce, you can usually find something good at, you know, one of the Speedy Marts around town. So I love that they're supporting local. I mean, if you walk in there, you see that they're supporting several local places.
Yeah.
But
the issue is you're usually spending more in beer than you are filling up your car.
Yes.
Yeah, it cost me $60 to fill up my car and $85 to fill up my my beer need.
Yeah. I mean, he has great prices. Like, he doesn't price gouge. It's just the beers that he's bringing in are
good.
Yeah. And therefore, they're pricey.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You've done the fruited Goes beer before. So is this your first fruited sour that you've produced? Or
No,
I'm trying to remember.
Because a fruited Goza is technically a fruited sour.
Yeah.
But this is not a traditional Goza.
Yeah.
It's just a kettle sour.
Okay.
So same way that you sour milk, you use Lactobacillus brevis. That's what we put into the wort. So we're on lockdown when we soured, like we cover the mash tun exhaust so nothing can be coming in biologically.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sour for a few days, and then we're taking samples in those days, making sure that nothing goes airborne. So it's a tricky situation with making, quick sours or kettle sours.
Yeah.
Cause you don't want to cross contaminate your whole brewery and then you're only making sours from there on out. and we don't have the luxury yet of having a completely separate souring facility. It's on the long-term wish list, but for now, I think they hit all the right notes, especially coming into summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely crushable.
My next question, will there be a watermelon Zitrone again this summer?
Asking for your listeners?
Yes.
Purely?
Purely. Only the listeners.
You
wanna...
selfish son of a bitch.
Hey, she said she's brewing that Sparks of Joy only for her. I can ask.
Yeah, she owns the place, dude.
You didn't even try the
difference.
You didn't even ask. You didn't even try the watermelon Zitrone last year.
No, I didn't. Yeah. You didn't offer it. You drank it all.
Damn straight I did.
He did. Yeah. It was good. No specific plans yet.
Okay.
But I'm not ruling it out.
You laugh. It's wait till you try it. It is that is one of my favorite beers from you guys.
I do not need another addiction, my friend.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you do. Well, let's try All the Peaches, the latest fruited sour from our friends at Craft House. I mean, very, you know, obviously the nose.
Oh, yeah, it's got a nice little pucker to it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the peach kind of sneaks up on you at the end.
Okay. I mean, the watermelon Zitrone, we still want. But this, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the finish It's a slow build there on the sour.
It is. Mm-hmm.
That slowly creeps up and creeps down your tongue. But very refreshing, very flavorful. We're just doing sours better now.
I think so.
I think it took a long time.
It feels like that was almost one of the last ones to the party. That but
was
sours.
That was the last one I could. Yeah. The one that I was just like, I don't know. I don't know how
I
feel about
it. Is it strange that I don't like sour stuff in general, but I like sour beer? So, and that's just changed for me relatively recently, because like you said, for a long time, sours were just not even a consideration for me.
Wouldn't
even consider it. But like, I don't like sour candy. I don't like sour anything really. But for whatever reason, a well-done sour beer is very pleasing to my palate. It's strange.
Well, I think that your palate is maturing and growing.
Is that what it is? Am I growing up?
That's the grays.
My palate's
becoming
a big boy.
That's the grays of your palate showing their age.
That's right.
Your palate is now stone cold gray fox.
That's right. A silver fox, if you will.
It's not like an overabundant sour either. You know, like you take like even a Sour Patch Kid or an Atomic Warhead, where you just your face right. instantly sucks in. This is a pleasant. It doesn't hit you all at once. It's a slow build, which I think eases you in.
And it's more complex too, right? Like it's not just that sourness. It's not like the Warhead, like you just talked about, where it's trying to make you pucker your face. It's got a lot of layers to it.
I mean, the thing I would just describe this just refreshing,
right?
You know, I mean, and at you said 5.6 or
yep.
Something around there. 5.4. I mean, drinks. I mean, you could drink 1,000 of these. This is a great lake beer.
I don't suggest you drink 1,000 in one day.
Maybe over the course of several summers.
Yeah. I suggest you do. See what happens.
Challenge accepted.
But, right. you know, great lake beer. And, you know, even though it's cold outside in Las Vegas still.
If it's going to be warm enough to ever go to the lake.
Like, is it going
to
be warm? Like I know where he's like, when is it going to get warm? And then it's going to get warm. And
then we're going to be complaining.
Yeah, no, but I remember a couple of years ago, I went out to the lake for Memorial Day weekend.
And it was hot. You got burned as hell.
Like, you couldn't even, going in the water, like the water was lukewarm in Lake Mead because it had been so hot leading up to it. I remember we beached one of the boats that we were on, and it was like the sand was scalding hot. And like I was looking at it again this year because I'd love going out to the lake for Memorial Day weekend. I'm like, I don't know if it's going to be warm enough.
The weekend's supposed to warm up a little, but still going to be
the high is like 77 or something.
Yeah, like low 80s, high 70s.
I'll take that all day.
I mean, yeah, we can't complain about that here in Las Vegas at all. I mean, hopefully this is
so. Sunday, 76 is the high. Oh, it's going to be windy.
I'll need a parka for that day.
Yeah. It's almost hoodie weather. That is literally almost hoodie weather. People are like, I know people in like Michigan and Wisconsin.
Like, shut up.
And Minnesota are like, you pansies, what are you doing? We're going shirtless with just shorts on out here.
They have a voodoo doll of the state of Nevada, and they're like pinning Las Vegas right now.
So Dave's been here about the same time I have. We're going on like 15 years. Here in Las Vegas. I feel like the summers have gotten easier, though. I don't know. I just remember those first couple summers being in, like, early 2000s, like 2004, 2005, just being murderous, like the worst summers of my life.
Yeah, you're just turning into more of a lizard.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm still super cranky. Everybody's like, it takes you, like, 3 summers to get used to it. And I was like, no. I'm just angry and cranky.
See, but if you grew up in Huntington Beach, though, you didn't even get you got the best of both. You didn't have shitty summers. You didn't have shit like growing up in Minnesota, Missouri.
Growing up in rural Minnesota, every winter would just kick you in the dick, and it would just be awful. And so, like the weather, you just have to deal with it. Like for me as a kid growing up, I just didn't know any different, right?
No, so you thought
this
is how it's
like, this is how the world is. Yeah.
You bundle up and you have to go walk or wait for the bus.
Yeah,
oh
you're
my God.
Wearing 3 snowsuits. Like it is ridiculous. But same thing here. It's just sort of like if you're just like the weather is what it is, and everyone's dealing with it. It's fine.
I'll
take the heat over the cold. Yeah. I still will.
The way I try to justify it is at least it looks happy and bright outside. It's not dreary and gloomy. Yeah.
When we lived down in Houston, it rained like 4 or 5 days a week every single week, it seemed. And here it's like we get 300 plus days of sunshine.
I don't love driving when it rains, but usually I'm at home when it's raining because, you know, get home.
Well, it's a rain day. You know, you got to stay in.
Well, but like,
cuddle up with a good beer.
Like sitting at home, the only thing I wish I had, I don't have a covered patio, so I can't smoke cigars outside.
When it's raining.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I'm like, I've sat
that,
out there
my
with
an elevator. First world problem.
Can't you just take out an umbrella?
Yeah, he did that last time. His fiance posted a picture of him sitting outside with his ridiculous Tommy Bahama hat on, holding an umbrella while smoking his big old stogie.
Always make it work.
Yeah, bastards in my HOA won't let me put a cover because I'm too close to a retaining wall.
Oh,
really?
Gosh.
Yeah, that's why we can't have. I know.
You actually ask your HOA to do stuff?
Man, I should.
I just do it.
I shouldn't.
Nah.
Actually, my HOA president is legit. He probably listens right now.
What up, bro?
What up, Steve? Steve Ginsburg. Shout out.
Steve, make that awning happen, man.
Nah, Steve's a good guy. And a craft beer fan.
Oh, really?
And a cigar lover.
Ah, right. Well, so then he should understand.
He should. Let's move on to our final beer. Which one is this?
This is Beer Zeit. It means beer time because we're all time-focused, having the cuckoo clock. So it's another lager, but this is a Maibock. So it was traditionally brewed for springtime in Germany, and then you can be out in beer gardens, and you could be, you know, doing your maypole dance. So it's kind of an amber color.
Your maypole dance. What is that?
You don't know the maypole?
Do we get tips?
Can I make some money? Nobody's gonna pay. They're gonna pay us to get off.
To get off, yeah, yeah.
They're like, no. Here you go. Oh wow, I love the color of this.
Yeah. So this technically is a lager. Okay. So it's part of us keeping the lager yeast in house going and propagating and building and reproducing, and happy. Mm-hmm. You know, because all yeast has to do is procreate and reproduce.
Sounds like
and
a pretty good life to me.
Eat sugar, yeah. Basically.
Eat sugar and bang.
Yeah.
Okay.
About it.
All right, man. If reincarnation is a thing, I want to come back as yeast.
Beer yeast.
Beer yeast. Beer yeast. Yeah. Yeah. Good. All good right. Distinction.
So, what are we looking at ABV wise on this?
It's 6.3.
Okay.
So we use noble hops, which is actually a blend of traditional German hops that are known for their spiciness. And then the malt character is definitely forward.
Yes.
But then again, using the lager yeast, you're going to kind of cleanse your palate and it's not going to settle on there and be heavy.
I'm getting the, you know, like in the nose, pretty light nose, but you do get a good amount of malt in there. But again, not off-putting in any way, shape, or form. And just looking at that beer, I mean, that is like, I want to swim in this.
Good.
I don't know about you, Dave, but.
I mean, I think we should probably take turns. We probably shouldn't swim in it at the same time.
I mean,
it's a pretty small cup.
We'll see. Well, weirder things have happened. Yeah. But yeah, incredibly clear, good nose.
Yeah, I mean, super clear. I mean, there's. Yeah, carbonation, when you swirl it around, obviously, it dusts up pretty nice, but otherwise it is.
That is very, very, like you said, malt forward. Mm-hmm. On the. What do you think of that? So Dave's traditionally not a huge malty guy, mm-hmm. but I'm curious to think, what are your impressions on that? Because it's not like it hits you in the face, but right. It's just like, ooh, that's pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
If I could describe it in terms of, like, water, right? It's like a rolling malt, right? But it dissipates pretty quickly, too. So it almost feels like a wave that washes up on shore and then quickly recedes type of thing. You know?
That's really profound. I like that.
You like that?
Do you
want
to write my menu description?
I'd be happy to,
Thank you.
So what I don't like about malts traditionally is that they linger for too long. Yeah. This one doesn't, right? Okay. So it finishes clean, mm-hmm. which is very nice.
Would this be a one that you go back to?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this drinks very easily. Like you said, 6 point, whatever it is.
I can't believe that's, yeah, that it drinks like it's, that's dangerous.
Yeah, it drinks like it's like 3.5%.
Yeah, there's zero alcohol in that. Like I said, you know, you say traditional springtime, but I think that even can roll over into summer. How long is this one going to be available at Craft House?
Well, it depends on how quickly you guys drink it.
Okay.
But probably 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's your...
We didn't package it, so it's draft only, but you can take growlers home to go.
Okay. Do you think this is one that may come back?
It's traditionally you launch it on the first day of May. So it's Maibock. So it means, you know, May in German. So we did launch it the first Friday of May. Mm-hmm. And then it takes you into summertime and then maybe your malts lighten and then, you know, the seasonality. Yeah. So
Maibock means May in German?
May, yeah. So it's a Bock beer.
Uh-huh.
And then is May in German.
Are you thinking of the car?
The car. So it's a Mercedes.
May. I think they're spelled differently.
Terrible. Oh, they are?
Yeah.
slight spelling difference.
Yeah.
What a terrible name for a car. So this is the Mercedes April. Like, what? Yeah.
And we're like, ooh, that's
it's so fancy. It's got curtains in the
right.
It comes with a maypole in the back seat. <Doesn't it?
laughs> All right, tips around.
But a phenomenal beer should be available at your Henderson location mm-hmm. for the next couple months. I like it. I do.
Man, why is it that every time that you like a beer, you're always like pressuring her for commitment? You're like the dude that goes on a first date. We should get married. We should have babies. You're like, hey, bro.
I'm just asking. I'm just asking questions, Dave. Because like that's the thing. When there's a beer.
Not saying we should get married, but like, do you want to get married? I mean, have you thought
just
about
hypothetically?
It? Hypothetically, like, could we like, what sort of like wallpaper would you put in our house if we had a house? Not saying we should.
There's no wallpaper going on in my house.
There's not.
Wallpaper
has made a comeback.
Wallpaper is the new thing. So you don't have to like actually put it on like you used to with
like
the
like
glue.
It's like a plastic. Yeah.
It's basically
right?
just like a sticker. It's like a sticker that you can take off the wall.
I like my house being sterile. You know, like we don't have any.
Just like my sex life.
We have very few things on the wall. We like our house looking like a model home.
Okay.
Yeah. Plus, like, I'm not good at hanging stuff, so.
Ah, there it is.
There's the truth.
It is.
That is also added to the
man.
The
have you ever got yourself like the? Because this happens to me all the time. Because the wife loves hanging pictures and all kinds of stuff, but when she gets one of those pictures that she really likes and she wants it hung, and I look at the back and it's got those fucking two hooks.
Oh, fuck
you know
those.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah. And now you have like to like level out.
Yeah, instead of just a wire, you're
get
like,
the wire!
No, just get the wire.
Get the wire.
Get the wire.
Get the wire.
Oh man, I hate those.
That's when you just set it on the dresser. It's level. Yeah,
whoever the monster is that thought that the two hook thing that have to be perfectly balanced and leveled and at the exact same height was an acceptable way of hanging pictures.
Monster.
I want you to go to hell.
Yeah,
you're terrible.
You are a whore and son of a bitch.
They sure actually are. Own stock in a level company.
You know what? Actually, that's some next level stuff.
That makes sense.
I still want you to burn in hell.
Yes, you're an evil bastard. Anything else? So you broke ground on the new location.
Yes.
I know it's a little premature to ask. Like maybe look, do we have a
more commitment? Here we go.
I'm not asking for a commitment, Dave. I'm just asking questions about. Possibly a launch date or a span of what you would like to happen.
How about summer?
Summer
this year?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So you guys, I mean, it's almost summer. You know that?
Yeah.
It's like 3 weeks until summer.
Yeah. Well, so our
late summer, perhaps?
Our general contractor said it would be 60 to 90 days.
Okay.
So let's say late summer, early fall.
That's not bad.
That's fair.
60 to 90 days
is
not
bad. We can wait that.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Never promise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to hold your feet to the fire. You know, we're
not
just
saying that we should commit, but you
we're
know,
excited
you
now
to,
that Project Neon.
That
do you want to see the wallpaper in the tapper?
There's going to be wallpaper in there.
And all kinds of pictures hung with the two things.
Yes.
I'm not mad at other people. I'm just saying for me personally.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess I never thought about that. Model homes don't really have a lot of pictures hung up, huh?
No. Very few.
Huh.
Very few. And
do you guys have any pictures hung?
No. We have zero pictures.
Zero
hung.
Pictures?
Zero. We have pictures in the house, but they're on. They're like sitting on like the.
Are you in a
tables.
Witness protection program?
Possibly. I'm a rat.
I will dime anyone out.
That's right.
You got an unpaid speeding ticket? 911. Call the police.
I have called the police several times.
Yes, he has. If he sees somebody driving down the road and they're doing something he doesn't like, he'll 911 that thing.
No, I 311 it.
Yeah,
311.
I'm all about 311.
311.
Yeah, love it.
I don't like. Hey, man. Screw you. Last if you're doing, like, I was behind a work pickup truck, and the guy, like, I was trying to signal him, his, like, concrete thing was digging a gorge on.
Oh, like the drum that
they
tow?
Yeah, there's, like, something dropped, and it's, like, dragging behind, and it's, like, cutting a channel in the.
Was it sparking?
Yes, in the pavement. And I'm like, hey, man. He's like. Gives me the finger, right. And I'm like, oh, okay. I see what's going on now. So I call through, and I'm like, hey, like, because you're just digging a channel from literally Windmill and Durango all the way up past the 215.
It's a Chanel. Okay, thank you.
No. Two inches, Dave. Versus 2 inches, you know. I don't know.
No, there's only one.
We shouldn't try to spell on this show. We know better than that.
Spell check.
But we're looking forward to your new location, you know, so
thank
sometime
you.
This summer, hopefully.
Yes.
And, you know, you're doing the Lord's work with getting out there and really evangelizing for craft beer owners and trying to get things done. And that's...
You're like the Billy Graham of craft beer.
I don't appreciate that.
Oops. Billy was fine. It's his son that's a douche. I haven't done my research. Maybe he was a douche, too. I don't know.
Well, you're doing awesome work. You're making awesome beers. We're going to feature the peach.
All the peaches
yes. tomorrow on the show, and we hope to see you guys soon. So thank you for coming in today, Wendy, from Craft House, and we will talk to you soon. This has been another Beer for Breakfast podcast.
Let's get married.